the majesty of your name fills the earth.
Your glory is higher than the heavens. We gather to praise you.
O Lord, our Lord, the majesty of your name fills the earth.
Your glory is higher than the heavens. We gather to honor you.
O Lord, our Lord, the majesty of your name fills the earth.
Your glory is higher than the heavens. We gather to worship thee, all glorious above.
Are you girls and boys doing well today? Oh, by the way, you know Alex that did the call to worship? Guess what? Today's his birthday. Alex, how old are you? 14? Oh, my goodness. Well, happy birthday, Alex. Do you know, I know you older boys and girls know this, but something's going to happen for some of you in 2 weeks.
School.
Yeah. Have you gotten school supplies yet?
Yeah.
Some of you have. That's good, because you have your moms and dads, maybe your grandparents will go with you to get school supplies, but there are a lot of boys and girls, they don't live with their moms and dads. They live with some very kind, nice people, and they're called foster parents. And they need us to help them get school supplies. Now, it's been so long since I've been in school, I don't know what to get. So could you help me? Let's come up with a list of school supplies. And I have my Conrad and Hinkle pen, and I'm ready to write. So what should we get?
Scissors.
Notebook paper. Wait a minute. Okay. A what?
A table.
Oh my, we need to get one of those. Jasmine, what?
Pens and markers.
And you need a glue. Yep.
And, Notebooks.
Notebooks, okay. What about glue sticks? Yeah. Glue sticks, okay. Glue sticks. Crayons, that's a good one. We need some crayons. I noticed on this list, some of the kids need headphones.
Yeah.
Oh, you do? They had not invented headphones when I was in school. So headphones, okay. What else? Pencils.
You need crayons.
Crayons. Are you all getting this down? This is a wonderful list. Backpack. Okay. A pencil box. That's good. Do you know there is a list up here that has a lot of the things that you have just told me? And so, folks, if you'd like to pick up a copy of this, or if you took good notes, we're hoping that everybody can get some school supplies this week so that we can give to the foster children. And I think that Jesus would be so happy with us because we're helping someone out by showing our love and showing that Jesus loves all the boys and girls. Let's have a prayer together. Jesus, thank you for these girls and boys and for so many others that we can help by purchasing school supplies. Help us to always know how much you love us and you love everyone. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thanks for your good help. And if you're getting some school supplies this week, be sure to pick up some for the foster kids, okay? We want to welcome you to this service today. I see visitors in our congregation. So good to see you as we're gathering as the First Baptist family. Every week, I hear of someone who listens to our service faithfully on the radio. And if you're one of those who always will tune us in on Sunday morning, we want to extend to you a very cordial greeting as well. Please let us know how we can share more information about our church with you as we seek to be the presence of God, the presence of Christ in this community. At our service today, we're focusing on the 8th Psalm. Burl's going to come and read us from, you're going to use the NIV, right? We're going to hear different translations. But let us hear these timeless words this morning.
For the director of music, according to Gedith, a psalm of David. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, which is mankind, that you are mindful of them, human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than their angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you for sharing those words with us. You have heard the words of Psalm 8. Now we will sing the words of the 8th Psalm. Number 319 is a beautiful hymn. The text is the 8th Psalm, a paraphrase of Psalm 8. But I want to tell you about the tune. How many of you remember that old hymn, Day is Dying in the West? About a third of you, maybe. I went to see Ann Korn this week. Now, you know, Ann is in her 90s. I said, Ann, do you remember Day is Dying in the West? She started singing, saying the whole hymn, didn't miss a beat, knew all the words. That beautiful hymn was written back in the 1870s at the Chautauqua Retreat Center. It is the oldest religious conference center in the nation. 10 years ago, Joyce and I, when we were on sabbatical, we had the privilege of going to Chautauqua. It's a gorgeous place in upstate New York, and it's kind of like going back in time. For over 100 years, every night at the end of Vespers, they would sing, "Day is Dying in the West." We sing that beautiful tune to the words of the 8th Psalm.
Thank you.
We may catch on after a few more stanzas. Before we have a moment of prayer this morning, I have a very specific prayer request. Today is the 216th day of the year 2019. In this year, there have been 251 mass shootings. 520 people have been killed. Over 2,000 have been wounded. And that includes the 9 who were killed early this morning in Dayton, Ohio, and the 20 who were killed yesterday in El Paso, Texas. We have a crisis in our land. There are no easy answers. It's too easy to point fingers and to place blame. Of course, we must continue to appeal to our elected leaders to place politics aside, to find reasonable solutions. But as American citizens, and especially as Christians, we have a holy task to confront hatred with love and darkness with light. We must build communities of love and acceptance and grace where all of God's children can find a safe haven and a place of belonging. Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, how glorious, how great is your name in all the earth. We worship and adore you for the gift of creation, the majesty of snow-covered mountains, for the glory of the lovely plains, for the awe-inspiring waters that circle the earth. We worship you today because your majesty is higher than the greatest mountains. Your glory is deeper than the deepest oceans. Your awe-inspiring presence is greater than the entire universe that you have created through your powerful word. It is no wonder we pause to ask, what is man? Who am I? We gather to confess our sins today, for we have fallen woefully short of your majesty and your glory. We live in a world of chaos and confusion. You created this world in love, and yet we repeatedly see the tragic results of hate. Our hearts are broken once again by the news of another mass shooting and another. We know the answers to this crisis are complex, but they must begin with hearts of love and forgiveness. They must begin by confessing that we all have sinned and fallen short of your divine glory, that you are the awesome creator, we are the fallen creation. We must begin by loving our neighbors, by reaching out to those in need, by feeding the hungry, by working for justice. We must begin by being a community of grace, compassion, acceptance, and understanding. O God, have mercy on us. Have mercy. Where there is hatred, let me so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Lord, our Lord, make us instruments of thy peace, as we pray the timeless prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our New Testament lesson is Philippians 2:1-11. Joy in serving, imitating Christ's humility. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God.
My 12th grade English teacher was Mrs. Ann Wyman. In English class, we studied the Canterbury Tales, but she was also my homeroom teacher. And every morning, homeroom started with these words as Mrs. Ann Wyman would recite the 8th Psalm, of course, from the King James Version. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The name that is above every name, beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God, and Son of man.
Thank you.
Thank you. For those of you in the sanctuary, if you have a bulletin, you notice that this is not a sermon. This is a testimony. Sermons are proclamation, but a testimony is personal. It's a confession. So I'm going to come over here and sit down, and I'm going to tell you my story. This is my confession. A few weeks before we left to go on sabbatical, someone asked me what I hope to accomplish in the sabbatical. They said, "What are your goals?" The question caught me off guard. I really didn't have an answer. Now, 10 years ago, when Joyce and I were preparing to go on sabbatical, the one that took us to Chautauqua, I had very specific goals. I had an elaborate, extensive, detailed proposal with all of the goals outlined, because you may remember I was presenting the proposal to the Lilly Endowment in exchange for a very generous grant. But this time around, there was no grant and there was no proposal. To be real honest with you, I was just tired. I needed to step away for a season. I needed rest and renewal. That was my primary goal going into the sabbatical. But while I didn't have a plan and I didn't have a proposal, I was quickly reminded that God, who always has a plan, had a proposal for my sabbatical that I didn't know anything about. Because God kept showing up. Young people, you know what happens when God shows up. He surprised us in ways large and small. He taught me lessons. He challenged me. He inspired me in ways that I never thought possible. But first, he had to get my attention. I've always been fascinated by the Shroud of Turin. You've probably read about that. It's one of the world's great mysteries. It's a centuries-old linen cloth that bears the bloodstains of a man who has been crucified. There are many people who believe that this was the actual burial cloth that was wrapped around the body of Jesus. There are many others who believe this was an elaborate medieval forgery. But we discovered that whether the shroud is authentic or not doesn't really matter. What matters is that people are searching for God. And the shroud provides a way for people to find God. Joyce and I spent a lot of time in the cathedral in Turin. We watched the faithful. We watched the searchers. We watched the pilgrims as they came, as they lighted candles, as they prayed, as they had tears flowing down their face, because they had an encounter with God. They were searching for God, and they found Him. Confession. I was not searching for God when I went on sabbatical. But guess what? He was searching for me. And let me tell you how He found me in a big, dramatic way. It happened on the airport runway in Rome. We had been in Italy about a week, and we were on our way to Turin, Torino, the Italians call it, to see the shroud. We were flying from Naples. We had to change planes in Rome, and so we got on the plane from Rome to Turin. We taxied out to the runway, and everything seemed normal. I was actually reading a book. Now, Joyce has always told me that when we fly, before we take off, she prays. I was not praying. I guess I'm thinking, you know, it's just another flight. Takeoffs, landings are routine. And so I was not praying. We turned onto the runway. The pilot revved the engines. We started the roll to take off. And you know when you're in a plane, there is that moment, and you can kind of sense that moment when the plane reaches the right speed and it begins to lift off, it begins to elevate from the ground. About the time that should have happened, I glanced out the window thinking we're about to take off, when suddenly there was a boom, there was a loud noise, there was a collision, and the pilot immediately reversed the engines, put on the brakes, and we all were thrust forward in our seats. If we had not had seat belts on, we would have been thrown into the seats in front of us. The plane came to a stop and just sat there for a minute on the runway, and then slowly the plane taxied off the runway, and the pilot came on and explained what had happened. We were in Italy. It was in Italian. We didn't understand a word he said. But there was a nice lady sitting beside me, and she realized we didn't understand. She turned to me and she said, "Buds." I said, "What? Buds. Buds." And then she got her iPhone and she typed an explanation in Italian that it immediately translated into English, and I read there were seagulls on the runway. We hit a flock of seagulls. Remember Captain Scully? Well, God suddenly had my attention. The plane, we had mechanics to come on, and they worked on it for about an hour, finally said it was safe to fly. But I guarantee you, this time, when we taxied out to the runway, Joyce was not the only one praying. I bet everybody on that plane was praying. God reminded me who's in control. About a week later, we went to a place we had been before. Some of you have been to this wonderful, beloved farmhouse in the beautiful rolling hills of Tuscany outside the walled city of San Gimignano in Italy. Joyce and I first went here about 10 years ago, and we just fell in love with this farmhouse, and especially the couple who owns the house, who purchased the land and the old 1,000-year-old house and renovated it. The house sits on a famous pilgrim highway, the Via Francigena, which was a pilgrim's road from Canterbury, England, all the way to Rome. Through the years, there have been archbishops of Canterbury, there have been popes, there have been bishops. St. Francis of Assisi walked that pilgrim's highway, maybe even St. Peter and St. Paul. That is located on holy ground. But even more remarkable is the story of the couple, Stefano and Donatella, who purchased that a number of years ago. Stefano was a corporate executive. He was in the electrical business. He routinely flew to New York and Los Angeles and Washington's, flying back and forth across the Atlantic. He was also a politician. He was an Italian senator. His wife, Donatella, is a brilliant person. She has degrees in archaeology and cosmetology. And she is a lovely, wonderful individual. A number of years ago, this high-powered couple who lived in the fast lane, they looked at each other one day and said, "Is this all there is to life?" And so he resigned from his company. He did not seek re-election in the Senate. And they purchased this old farmhouse. They renovated it. And it is a beautiful, lovely place. We wanted to go there and do nothing but rest and relax. I wanted to take a back seat. It was wonderful not to have to worry about having any responsibility, no sermons to preach, no bulletins to get together, make sure I have all the announcements together, make sure I'm aware of everybody who's sick and all of this. I didn't want any responsibility. 10 years ago, Stefano cooked our dinner one night, which was quite a treat to have a senator to cook your meal. And as we were talking, as he shared with us his testimony, he found out that I was a minister. He started calling me father. I said, no, it's not that kind. But he told us the story I just told you. And he said, when we found this old property, the first thing we discovered was a chapel, a little chapel that's over 1,000 years old. And the first thing I did to honor God was to renovate the chapel. And then he said, "Would you come with me to the chapel and pray?" That was a beautiful experience, just the three of us in the little chapel praying. I remembered the chapel. And so when we were there a few weeks ago, it was on a Saturday, and I asked Maria, the manager, I said, "Maria, will the chapel be open in the morning?" She looked at me and she said, "Oh yes, for prayer, of course, Ray." The next thing I knew, people were coming up to me saying, "I hear you're going to lead a prayer service in the chapel in the morning." I went, "Well..." That night at dinner, a couple from, I think they were from Denmark, they said, "We're going to have to leave early in the morning. We're so sorry we're going to miss the prayer service in the chapel. Everybody's talking about it." And then Stefano came up to me and he said, "What time is the prayer service in the morning? We all want to be there." Joyce said, "What are you going to do? You don't know how to lead a Catholic prayer service." She said, "You might want to Google it." I did. No help. YouTube. That would have all the movements too. I did send a text to my good friend Tina. I just said, "Hey, guess what? I'm leading a Catholic prayer service in the morning," thinking that she might just give me a few pointers. Her response was, "Good luck." I decided that I'm going to lead that prayer service like I would lead any other prayer service. The next morning, about 10 o'clock in the morning, we gathered in the chapel. Stefano was there with a couple who he was in the winery business, and Donatella, and there was one of our dear friends, Marista. She's one of the servants. She's from Peru. She doesn't speak Italian. She doesn't even speak English. She could barely understand what anyone was saying. I started by talking about the fact that we were standing on holy ground and remarked how St. Francis, how archbishops, how cardinals and popes had traveled down that highway. And then I offered a prayer. And after the prayer, I thought people might sit down. They were all standing, but they remained standing. And I read the text from the 10th chapter of Mark, talking about the greatest among us shall be our servant. I talked about how people seek greatness in the world by assuming power, But Jesus said, we find greatness in service. And I looked around the room, and I made note of the fact that we were from different nations and different cultures. We spoke different languages, but we're all members of the family of God. And then we prayed. I turned and I faced the altar. As I was praying, Marista had her arm around Joyce, had the other arm lifted in praise, and tears were flowing down her face, even though she didn't understand a word. Donatella came. She took my hands as we prayed. She embraced us as tears of grace were flowing down her face. Stefano and the others all had tears and words of gratitude. I don't really know what happened. I can't explain it. But I know that God showed up. And in a powerful way, we all experienced the presence and the power of God. And as I walked away from that little chapel, God told me, you can take a sabbatical from what you do, but you can never take a sabbatical from whom you are. You are a minister. Over 50 years ago, I called you to be my servant, to be my minister. A few weeks later, we went to one of the most beautiful places on the face of the earth. We went to Yellowstone Park and to see the Grand Tetons. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it is truly a place that you can get in touch with God when you see the overwhelming beauty. I wrote, how many different ways can you say breathtaking, awesome, beautiful, majestic, inspiring, stunning, amazing, unbelievable, incredible, glorious, spectacular? Surely we saw God's creation all around us. It was the first week of May. People told us it would be cold, and it was. There was still a lot of snow. The lakes were still frozen, but it was absolutely gorgeous. We went to Yellowstone Park and stayed in the Old Faithful Inn. My grandmother took me to Yellowstone Park 53 years ago, and we stayed in the Old Faithful Inn. I had been watching the weather. It said it was going to rain every day, but the first couple of days were beautiful. But then came the day that it was supposed to rain all day, but it didn't rain. It snowed. It snowed all day long, big, beautiful, fluffy flakes of snow. We saw Old Faithful erupt four times in the snow. But I want to tell you what happened the next day. It was in the 20s when we woke up the next morning. We packed our heavy coats, our toboggans, and our gloves, and we rode over to the Grand Prismatic Spring. Yellowstone Park is one of the few places on the face of the earth that is full of geysers and hot springs, superheated water coming from under the surface, the bubbling mud pots. The Grand Prismatic Spring is known for its many colors. It's just a gorgeous, you look at pictures of it, it's just amazing. But the fact that it was in the 20s and you have this superheated water coming up created this giant canopy of steam. And when Joyce and I walked into that mist, when we walked into that steam, we had the most unusual experience. It was a mystical, ethereal type of experience because suddenly on that cold, cold day, it was like God had wrapped his arms around us with a warm blanket. Our glasses fogged up. We couldn't see a thing. But all we felt was warmth and comfort and love. That afternoon, I went on a long walk. I went on a long hike through the upper geyser basin, which is just up from Old Faithful. In that small area of a few acres, there are more active geysers than in any other place on the face of the earth. I walked as far as I could go, and then I turned around and started back. And I just want to read to you what I wrote about that experience. I started back and I turned left at the fork, and I started walking through a lovely section of pine trees, a pine thicket. As I was walking, it started snowing. It was not a heavy snow, but just small, gentle flakes. It was another ethereal moment of past memory and future hope, a spiritual blessing as I walked through a pristine forest as fresh as the first day of creation, with snowflakes falling and the silence of the forest speaking to me in powerful ways. I was all alone. No one was around me. I was returning to a place that had always been lodged in the memory of my childhood, returning over half a century later at the end of a long and fulfilling ministry, returning in a sabbatical to find rest and renewal and rest for my soul. Here it was in one magical moment, walking through one of the world's most amazing geological displays, walking over a super volcano that could any minute erupt with cataclysmic transformations, walking over a power that is much greater than I. The words came to my mind, when I consider the heavens, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man? Who am I? I emerged from the forest to hear this loud roar, and I saw a great geyser erupting. It was the Grotto Geyser. And I stood there all alone, witnessing that marvelous creative power of God. That was the moment. That was the moment in my sabbatical when God finally had my full, undivided attention, and He reminded me that He not only was in control, but He reminded me that 50 years before, He had called me to be His servant, to be His minister. What is man? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and has crowned him with glory and honor. God kept surprising me during the sabbatical with many lessons and serendipities along the way. But that was the moment. It was like a new ordination when God reminded me of who I am, that I'm called of God to be His servant. Beautiful Savior, Lord of creation, Son of God and Son of man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forevermore be thine. Hymn 115, let us sing together.
Thank you. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer to you this morning that you will bless our tithes and offerings to the benefit of our church, for its physical well-being and for the spiritual nourishment it provides its members and all who worship within its doors. But Father, we also pray blessings upon those missions that our church supports, whether at the local or state or worldwide level. We're a loving and giving people, and we know that through our reverence and obedience to you, our gifts will help to reach those who want to hear your word, to feel your love, to receive your grace and blessings. So as always, Father, please bless our gifts. Bless those who give of them, and bless those who receive. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for being a part of this service today. Thank you for letting me share with you the ways that God used this sabbatical. I felt like it was important to share a personal word. When people ask me how the sabbatical was, I tell them it was much more than I ever expected. And now you know why. And Joyce and I are so grateful for the opportunity to take this sabbatical. And now we're ready to go to work again as we approach the fall, busy fall months. We have a lot that we need to do. We have a lot that God is calling us to do as we go into this next time together. Thank you for being a part of the service. Especially good to see our visitors. Next Sunday is going to be a service of blessing for our college students. It's always a very special time. Hope you'll be here next Sunday. Now let us pause as the choir leads us in our benediction.